Welcome back. It is now hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the lighter side of genocide, because the world's so full of chaos and madness and Freemasonic scumbaggery. If you lose your sense of humour, you'll go freaking nuts. And I remember I was getting these messages from you yesterday, James, saying that you've had this attempt on your life, and I was just thinking, oh my God, I need to call this guy up very, very quickly, and not only record something and get it up online, and you can see that quick 10-minute video, ladies and gentlemen, at my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media. But not only that, but make sure to make you laugh and provide a little bit of levity, because you know, it's when times are darkest that you need to cackle the hardest. Now, anyway, Freemasonry in cinema. Why is there so much symbolism in Hollywood, James?
Well, that's a good question. Arguably, it's because it is, you know, to indoctrinate and attract a younger generation to the occult. So you have the stuff like that people see frequently in like the music videos. You know, Kesha would be a really good example of just something that's completely stooped in, you know, drowning in occult symbols and all that, just blatant, and the hip hop stuff as well and all that. I mean, I was pretty naive when I moved to Hollywood, but now that I've seen it up close and personal, and not only that, being who I am, seem to attract a lot of other elite occult types and so forth out of the woodwork to approach me and want to discuss things and, you know, just, I guess, kind of satisfy their own curiosity, really. Not anyone that I felt it was a threat or anything like that, but yes, I got a really good vantage point, and it seems to me that yes, it's true. It's all controlled, and that's all entertainment. So we're not just talking about TV and film. We're also talking about the literary and the sports and all of it. There's a lot of surgical engineering that goes into that, and these people who you see as your big stars, the only reason they are really or allowed to be is because they tend to go along with the game and allow for all this stuff to circulate in the background. So
I've seen a number of Donald Sutherland films of late, and every single one of them, there he is standing on a black and white Masonic floor. There he is mentioning the number 33. Every single one of Donald Sutherland's films. It was extraordinary. It, like, blew me away. And it was just like, you know, there's something going on here. I don't know exactly what it is, but to say that there's absolutely nothing going on here, unequivocally, is freaking stupid.
Yeah, that's the actual conspiracy theory. The real one is that there's nothing going on, nothing to see.
That's the coincidence theory. Now, I wanted to read out... I was actually really honored when you asked me to do this, to write the foreword for the Filthy Rituals of Freemasonry. Many people can make a stand, some for their home or family, others because their nation is under attack. Few take a stand for the entire human race. Most whom are in a position to do so are silenced by the very elements they attempt to expose, by ridicule, sabotage, fear, and murder. When discerning whether a whistleblower is genuine or not, one must look at the consequences they suffer as a sort of qualifier, dark and distressing as it sounds. James Wright was a ranking member of the Brotherhood of Freemasonry, a paid employee within the exclusive Supreme Council of the 33rd degree. An enviable feat for such a young man. He excelled due to his high level of dedication and attention to detail, living a vibrant social life in Dallas, with friends, personal property, and safety with which to walk the streets. But the glamour began to fade. Married men made sexual advances daily upon him, being ordered to behave one way around certain people, splitting into just J for casual and then James for professional appearances. He saw others groveling, allowing themselves to be abused by the perverted and twisted masters of the lodge. Something changed. Somehow, the elaborate fine china collection engrossed in Masonic symbols were not something to be revered and collected, but instead smashed on a rock, one after the other, for YouTube. The robes and gowns, official regalia, became like disease-ridden blankets used to exterminate native tribes. He began to speak out, to make a stand against the Supreme Council and expose the truth, that they are not just a charitable organization that hosts pancake breakfasts, but a hugely powerful, well-organized elite cult, writhing in ritual, sated by sacrifice, obsessed with sex, and descending into dark occulted mysticism. The results of going public in this way were to suddenly be without any security, forever being stalked, watched, threatened, unable to keep a secure home, money, or anything in Dallas. He had to go out of state. Imagine what it feels like to have attempts on your life, like nearly being murdered on your way home by a stranger in the car, tipping alcohol all over you and trying to cause a crash, having to run screaming for your life at a truck stop. Imagine leaving to live in some small town that no one's ever heard of and still being unable to sleep because of the endless stress, fearing that you'd never find someone to hold you ever again, relationships ending or never beginning out of fear, experiencing true loneliness and isolation. Contemplate upon returning to Texas, living in hiding on a friend's rural property. You find out the local sheriff happens to be a Mason. Then having to live in your car, unwashed, malnourished, camping out at the wireless hotspots provided by some motels, trying desperately to communicate with anybody who could help. Then come to find out that your own mother signed for you to be forcibly committed to a mental institution, where you're strapped in a chair and forced to watch Christina Aguilera music videos and Disney movies, drugged against your will, and having to play their game in order to get released. Meanwhile, one of your mentors of royal blood is brutally murdered in what appears to be a ritual sacrifice. So much more has happened that has been left out, but even these few examples must make one ponder intensely at the plaguing question that has baffled mankind for centuries. What do the Freemasons have to hide? In reading this, you will be provided the answer. Be grateful that such a book was ever written by the hand of man. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Edmund Burke. And the reason I was able to write this out is because I'd interviewed James a number of times and spoken off-air. I think maybe even spoken off-air with him for more hours than I've been on-air, in fact. Basically because when James was in these kind of situations, he would message me and I'd look at Skype and just see like these 18 messages from James Wright. And I'm going, oh my God, I can't be bothered reading that. Just give him a call. And, these are the things that he's been going through. They've been telling me. And I actually got into, a verbal fist fight with people on Facebook last night when I was posting the video of the assassination attempt, because the denial infuriated me, because they're not in full possession of the facts, as I have been, and indeed they were laughing, you know, they're saying, "Oh, this is laughable! Ha 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 ha! He just had somebody try and kill him! Ha ha ha! That's not funny. Imagine if it was your friend. Would you be laughing then? I don't think so. And we'd like to take some callers if you are able. The number is 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525 is the number to call in to American Freedom Radio and offer your opinions and how you feel about this whole incident as well. James, anything to say?
Well, I mean, I want to thank you again for that forward. It's really beautiful, and it's kind of, you know, triggering of emotions and things. Because, I mean, so much of this stuff, it's like I just, I don't know. I keep going at it, and it's this big, lunatic, deranged chess game, and they make a move, I make a move, they make a move, I make a move, and I don't know. It's all... It seems like there is no lower standard. There is no threshold of reason. Everything is just purely chaotic, and that's how they like it. And I don't know. It's been very difficult. So, I mean, for people that say that, you know, oh, he's sitting back and laughing and raking in the cash or whatever, no. Moving to L.A. was not even possible without other people helping me. Once I got there, the little tiny bit of money I was able to make was gone in, you know, 2 months of just basic living expenses. So this has not been fun or glamorous or anything like that. And I'm expected by a lot of people to keep on this appearance of ferocity and just be completely renegade and ballsy and it just everything you can imagine that goes with it. At the end of the day, I mean, I'm still a human being. I'm not a god. So, I mean, fighting this battle does take out of me certain energy and everything else. And I believe in what I'm doing. I'm not going to stop. But, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of things that are very difficult to deal with, you know, as a result of this type of work. And ultimately, I can't say how it's going to play out. I mean, in a perfect world, you know, the Freemasons are brought out from under their rocks and have to answer a lot of questions and account for a lot of things. And, you know, the world moves into a better place. Worst case scenario, absolutely nothing changes. So that's
speaking. Speaking of things that don't change, divine providence. When this attempt happened on your life yesterday, there was, in fact, somebody driving behind you who knew who you were and indeed came and helped you. Could you tell people about that?
Yeah, he actually wasn't driving behind. He was up. I was going southbound on the 5, and he was in the parking lot of a, you know, outdoor shopping plaza type setup place that was elevated, you know, up a bit and over to the right. So he was there at the side of the parking lot and facing the freeway and saw what happened. And so he came up running. And then when he got to the car, you know, he recognized, oh, my God, you're that Freemason guy that's been speaking out and everything. Yeah. And then he, you know, he was a Marine and very, very kind. And I was so grateful that he came up because, I mean, he was basically saying the entire time, you know, well, what if there's a cop or something that is one and is in on this or something, you know? So I was just really, really grateful to have someone there. It could have played out a whole lot differently than it did. And I mean, hell, for that matter, the car that caused this could have come back around for a second pass or something. I mean, I just who knows? But yeah, it was once he, you know, helped me inspect the damage to the car and all that. He was about as freaked out as I was, just because of how obvious it was that there had been some sort of explosion or something that took place underneath that car, because it's just too, I never hit anything. I never, quote, crashed. So the damage that's been done to the car is it's consistent with an extreme force hitting it from somewhere underneath going outward because it blew off the passenger side. There's scorching around the trunk. The wheel well of the wheel in question is basically not. The car may have to be totaled. I don't know yet. So.
Well, I was talking about this last night with another bunch of whistleblowers. Is that it's like when you're doing God's work, angels appear to protect you in your time of need. What was his name? President Andrew Jackson, who got rid of the private central bank that was threatening to enslave the people of the United States and unfortunately got reinstituted in 1913 and still enslaves you all today. There was an attempt on his life in broad daylight, and the assassin had two pistols, and they both misfired. And it occurred to me that when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, when you're fulfilling the divine will of God, when you are a warrior and you are taking on the evil that besets mankind, you will have amazing experiences. You think, how did I survive that? What are the likelihood that somebody who knew me would be actually watching at the time when this happened to me and came over to support me? What is the likelihood of that? And the answer is it's not. You know, there might the amount of people that are aware of you, James, enough to recognize your face and know who you are, is an extremely small minority out of the population of the United States. And yet, in your time of need, there is a person right there to protect you and to help you. Isn't that interesting? It's because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show.
There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. As I say, it's the lighter side of genocide. Me and James were laughing over the break. And just because we're laughing over the break after he had an assassination attempt on him, doesn't mean the assassination attempt didn't say any of you Freemasonic denial scum out there. We were talking about his car insurance and how it doesn't cover assassination attempts. And I was just thinking, you know, If you're going to, like, advertise to people, you know, like, assassination insurance, you know, are you a whistleblower? Have you got motherfuckers busting caps at your ass when you're driving down the freeway? You know, get assassination insurance and you will get a pass. Okay, maybe that's in poor taste. But still, your car's messed up, man. What are you going to do? What you going to do? You know? Who are you going to call? It's like Ghostbusters. You know, it's just difficult to deal with. Even just the concept of this. How exactly do you survive when people are trying to kill you? You know, It's just totally unwarranted. It's not feasible because you've got to be like on edge at all times. And it doesn't matter how many hugs you get or how many pats on the back or how many cigarettes you get given or anything like that. You're still under threat of having your life extinguished by scum. And that doesn't go away. And it won't go away until this entire apparatus and institution and scumbaggery concoction is eradicated. And that is a massive task. Massive. People don't realize just how huge Freemasonry really is, how international it is. And James is just one man. Just one man. Trying to do what nobody for hundreds of years has even attempted. Blowing the whistle on these people. And I think it serves as in fact, as a good example as to the fact that these people do not use human tactics. You know, they've got no conscience. Their scumbaggery is persistent. It's just terrible, man. And I'm just so tired. I know that you are too. You can't sleep from any of this stuff. It's just so stressful, and you've got somewhere to be. Like you're actually going to have to leave us early, because you've got things to do, places to go. You can't even use your debit cards because the Sentinel program will be able to track that stuff and pinpoint your location. Send out their ghouls and winged monkeys to your location. You know, you just got to basically be on edge, total stress at all times. And I wish I could do more, but I'm just your friendly neighborhood douchebag reporter. This is the best I can do. And I fear it's not enough.
Well, I don't know when it will ever be enough. I mean, I don't. If I had a magic wand or a genie in a lamp, I don't know exactly what could even be asked for. Aside from people are going to have to rally together and have a big outcry if they want to see this brotherhood brought out of the shadows and made to account for its dirty dealings. That's the only way that we're going to get from A to B in a positive, constructive manner that moves forward, not backward. And I mean, this is why I have absolutely no time to devote to people who want to try and have an angry exchange of words or whatever. I can't. It's there are so many intelligent points to debate with all this subject matter that you could have a 24-hour show and not cover every single facet of this octopus organization. So, I've always said, whenever you walk through one door, you come into a new hallway full of doors. When you look into this type of stuff, it just goes on, and that's how it's meant to. It's compartmentalized on purpose. So, in the meantime, me personally, I don't know what to make of all this. I mean, I know the consequences there's been. I know that, for example, if I was to go through the city of Dallas, I have friends who would want to see me, but would not want to see me where they live because they don't want anyone following me to distinguish their place of residence as a potential place of interest that I might be at some time. So, I mean, it's been carried to that level. I mean, I actually got to meet someone and go out on some dates when I've been in Los Angeles, and he had a very serious problem with all the type truther stuff anyway, totally asleep, whatever. And I had hoped that perhaps he would wake up somewhat, but he did say something that was very on point when we were sort of calling it quits, and he made this comment to me about, well, you're going to have a really hard time ever finding someone to put up with this stuff. I mean, he's right about that. It's crazy, life-altering stuff that, I mean, I can objectively look at it and go, okay, if I was someone else and met me, I'd probably be like, whoa, you're like the plague, you know. So, I mean, I don't know. It's I guess it's a matter of like degrees of bravery or something. You know, if you don't care and you believe in your convictions, then, you know, have at it. But there's been nothing but consequences. I have not gained anything from this. I do not stand to gain anything from this. Not really. And my life is extremely difficult now. It used to be very nice. And so there's your evidence right there.
Yeah.
My car that's in pieces, I mean, the insurance on it was liability only. I have not been able to afford comprehensive in over a year now. So, you know, and that's where why we were joking around about that. That's all you can do at this point. The insurance company isn't going to cover this theatrical thing that unfolded. It was a single car mishap, accident, whatever. And so, yeah, that's, you know, down a car. So, you know, it keeps on and it keeps on.
Yeah. And I think, like, if you had assassination insurance, they'd have even bigger payout if you were fake suicided or something, you know? Like, if you're found with your hands bound behind your back and then shot in the head and it's ruled a suicide, you get, like, an extra payout.
Yeah.
You know? It's fucking crazy, man. And, I don't know. I'm, like, at a loss for words right now, James. Honestly, I don't know what to say.
Yeah,
I can't help. That's actually the thing that's frustrating me and blocking my mind right now is the full knowledge that I can't help you because I'm not there.
Yeah, I had a long call this morning with my sister, and she said those exact same words. You know, it's no one really knows what to say anymore. It's been carried so far, and I mean, it was getting out over the top and ridiculous this time last year. So a whole year's worth of stuff has gone on since then. And it's just, and there's no end in sight. So.
Well, I think that there is a greater force that's behind you. Even if I can't be there to physically protect you or Freda or anything like this. There is something with you right now watching over you. And you're not alone. And you have all the protection you need. The problem is it's not physically manifested. It's not right there in front of you. You can't touch it. It can't hold you in the middle of the night when you're curled in a fetal position, crying and afraid for your life. It's not comforting, is it?
No, there's certainly not a lot of comfort to be found in this type of scenario. No, so I have to take comfort in other things like. Feeling at the end of the day like I made some sort of progress, or I went to this rally or this protest, or marched down this street and spoke here and shook hands there and you know, did everything I could that day to make a difference. And but it's never enough. So it's very difficult to gauge from one day to the next of, okay, how productive was I in this whole struggle today. How, you know, I mean, it's there's absolutely no way to measure it. There's no instruction booklet for any of this type stuff. I mean, most Freemasons don't even know what it is their own order does. So, I mean, it's just that crazy and that much of a gray area, that far removed from people with the whole elitism thing. It's just it's a whole other world, but it is very real indeed. And I think most people would figure out sooner or later at some point, wake up to some sort of news one morning or whatever, and it's, you know, oh, it's just as we've suspected all along. They got their hands in this cookie jar and that one and that one, and they're pulling this judge and that senator and all this stuff around by the back of their hair. I mean, yeah, that is the reality of it.
Now, we have a caller here, Kyle in Philly. Welcome to the program. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. I think what James was saying earlier was pretty profound about relationships and dealing with people in the subject matter. And I think it's safe to say that everybody who deals in this information at some point or another has wanted to unknow it and wanted to not have that burden on their shoulders. And about having people who can truly help, the ones who could do the most, the ones that have the wealth and the power and the influence, are the ones who are the most reluctant to do anything because they stand the most to lose, seeing as that they have benefited most from the system the way that it is. And that is, I mean, and until you can change those simple facts, it's almost an uphill. You're pushing that boulder uphill.
Well, I mean, what James is doing has never been done. You know, nobody's ever actually written, you know, the book on Freemasonry, let alone two.
Well, but I'm saying that, okay, the people who come out and give him, you know, the most, this is inside, true, you know, whistleblowers, Snowden, those guys, they stand the most to lose. They are in the positions of the highest power, having used the system that is, you know, oppressing us all. So why would they, you know, that's the backwards, that's the oxymoron of the entire situation.
You know, and how do you deal with it, right? And the answer is, well, basically, you can't. It's like, as long as your heart's still beating and oxygen's still coming to your lungs, really, you have to deal with it. You know, you don't have a choice.
I'll speak bluntly honest. My grandfather was a 33rd degree Mason in Philadelphia in a lodge. I am now a 3rd degree Mason. I got raised the whole nine, and then once I began to see where it was going, I haven't been back to a meeting since. So there's people who, you know, they get the light shined in their eyes and they make the decision. You know, do I continue to go this path or do I what it's really about and try to reject it?
Was that a hard decision for you, Kyle?
No, not at all. Once they had me on my back with a pair of ripped pants on, surrounding me, looking down on me, giving me the lion's paw to stand up, and it was unlike anything I'd never done before, I said, this is not normal behavior. This is not something that I want to be a part of. And I backed out as soon as I possibly could.
So you weren't willing to be indoctrinated by the cult?
No, not at all. But by the same token, I mean, it was the same lodge that my grandfather was the 33rd degree Mason. He was the, you know, a past worshipful master. Was, to give you an idea, a gentleman who my grandfather brought into the lodge.
I'm sorry. Kyle, if you would hold that thought, and I'll bring you back in after the break. I've just got to say goodbye to James at this point, so hold on just a moment there, Kyle. So, James, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you've got to run, and may God be with you.
Thanks, Vinny, for everything you do. You're a good friend, and Kyle's story sounds really good, too. I wish that we could get
ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor, smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. Believe
what you want, but my evidence is greater.
Welcome
you know
back. About the Bilderberg and New World Order. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And I want to thank American Freedom Radio for giving me this platform. They've given me the ability to help people. And this is something that I realized over my holiday, is that I now have not only the ability, but the... Here's the thing. If you have the ability, then you have the responsibility. That's what I feel. Kyle in Philly, welcome back. And before we talk to you, behind me is a picture of the Prime Minister of New Zealand, John Key, at Freemasons New Zealand. All right? The Masonic Compass and Square and everything. So if people think that I'm making it up when I say that the Prime Minister is a Freemason and all of this kind of stuff, I'm not. There's the evidence right there behind me on the screen. And those of you who are listening on air and on the radio will be able to go to my YouTube channel, and they'll be able to see that during this entire show, I have been putting images behind me that I've taken screenshots off of movies and things of that nature, of all these Freemasonic symbols, just to illustrate precisely what we're talking about here. All right, Kyle, welcome back.
And it's not even people who are necessarily Masons. It's the power that they wield. I mean, there were people at lodge meetings and at high meetings who, I mean, the district attorney for Philadelphia was at one of our meetings giving a speech, and it was, you know, understood that there was a certain amount of donation that would go to him. So even if people aren't Masons and they don't walk around wearing their lamb cloths and their tuxedos and what have you, there's still a lot of influence there. There's still a lot of tit for tat, you do for me, we'll do for you sort of underlying agreement.
Well, that's why they call it the Brotherhood, because, you know, my brother, for example, you know, he and I would do favors for each other if needs be, isn't it?
Absolutely, it's one thing to be a brother. It's another thing to have the Masonic order behind you, even if you're not a Mason. Even if they say, listen, you know, even in little things, and, you know, we'll make sure the City Hall procures the money to get that what have you fixed at the temple, at the lodge, you know. So it doesn't even, you don't even necessarily need to be a member to feel the influence of Freemasons. I mean, it's and that's on a very lower level. You know,
and how old were you when you first got inducted into the order?
27.
Were you invited?
I put a few feelers out. Like I said, my grandfather was involved, and I had heard a little bit about it, but didn't know much. And so I had put a few feelers out. I said, "Hey, do you know anybody who's a Freemason? How do you get, you know? How do you get an invite? How do you get this and that?" And then one of them got back to me, and they said, "We'd like to send a couple guys out to your house. We'll sit down. We'll talk to you for a little bit. They'll see whether or not, you know, they'll get a feel for who you are, and then they will report back to at the Lex Lodge meeting, and there'll be a vote. And that's, you know, everybody gets a white ball and a black ball, and if you get one black ball, you're not in. So everybody anonymously walks up and puts the ball in a little box, then it's counted, and if there's one black ball, then you're out. You're blackballed, and you'll never be allowed to get in. I didn't get any black balls, so then they extended a invitation to me, and they said, "Why don't you come on down to a meeting?" And they go in, all the brothers go in and do a meeting beforehand, and for about an hour and a half, me and two other guys sat outside the room. And then they said, "All right, new inductees, come on in." They put you into a little room. They do some things. They put you in some certain things. And then they bring you in blindfolded, and you do some more things.
The act of blindfolding, I was just thinking about the aspects of cult indoctrination. And there's a number of aspects of cult indoctrination. Firstly, they make the members of the cult believe that they're different from other people, that they're special. they make them believe that everything that they knew previously currently doesn't matter, and provide a new framework for them to perceive reality. Go ahead.
I was going to say that the idea behind the blindfold is you go in blindfolded, you do some things, they have you, you know, do things here and there, and then at the end, they take the blindfold off. And that is the first time, it's symbolic of the first time you're seeing the light, and it's the first time that you're seeing the inside and you're seeing the order. And what's interesting is, you don't know who's in that room. You don't know the people that are... when you go in there blindfolded, you don't know if there's four guys in there or if there's 40 guys or if there's 400 guys, and you don't know who those guys are. So, and up to that point, if you fail that first... If you don't go through the things that they want you to do correctly, then you'll be led back out, and you'll never know who was in that room. But if you don't, and you proceed through, then they take the blindfold off, and for the first time, you're able to see everything. You're able to see the people, and you're able to see the inside, and it's very much a idea of, here are your new eyes, here's the new way that you're going to see things. Welcome in.
Mm. And how, emotionally, how did you feel at that particular point? Did you feel welcome? Did you feel like you were part of something, or did you feel like these guys are really freaking creepy?
No, the first two degrees that I achieved were very. It was great. You know, you got guys cheering you on, patting you on the back. Don't worry, everything's going to be fine. I mean, waiting outside the room, and when they bring into you know, the next level, it's nerve-wracking. You're scared. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what's going to happen. But once you finish and, you know, everyone's clapping and they're patting you on the back and they're, you don't understand everything. I mean, there's a lot of things going on that you have no idea. But they're cheering for you and they're happy for you. And you know, it's very welcoming. It's very seductive. It's very intoxicating.
Mm. Seductive and intoxicating. Sounds like somebody's about to rape you to me.
No.
In some kind of intellectual fashion sort of thing, like planting a seed inside you.
No, if you're ever in school and you see a bunch of kids standing together in a corner and they're all laughing to each other and they all know a joke, and, you know, you don't know. They could be laughing at you. They could be laughing at the teacher. They could be laughing at the kid on the swing set. But you don't have any idea. And then they come over and they say, hey, Vinny, come over here. Come over here. And they bring you over there and they tell you that secret. And now you're in on the joke. But nobody else is. But just you guys. And when you walk out, when you go back into the school room, you go back into the classroom, same thing. When you walk out of that, the temple for the first time, it's very much like I'm in on it now. I'm part of something that everybody that I see out here on the street passing me by is. I know the joke. I know the secret. You don't know. You don't have the whole history of it. You don't know everything, but you feel different. You feel very much like accepted or very much like This is it. These are my guys now.
Did you feel like superior to all the other people that were passing you by on the street, sort of thing?
Absolutely.
Being in the know, and then
not so much. My first two degrees, I did, but then after the third degree, more so than you can ever know. Hey, after that, it's here you go. Here's my phone number. I'm such and such. Police chief, here you go, here's my phone number, I'm such and such attorney, here you go, I'm such and such whatever, call me if you ever need anything. What are you doing? Do you fish? Do you hunt? What do you do? You like cars? Well, I have this, we do this. We're all going up to here, and it's amazing.
It's like, that's a club for you. isn't it?
It's both. I mean, there's very much time when you're doing, when you're learning degrees and you're getting things that you're questioning, saying, "I don't. Why am I doing this? What is the purpose of this?" And the whole time, because you have to learn. You have to learn information, and you have to learn knowledge, and you have to learn certain things to get your next degree. And so you train with a guy, and he goes, and an older brother, and you know, I don't know why I'm doing this. Why is this important? Why does this have any meaning at all? And then you find out why, and then you get that next meeting, and then you get that next degree, rather. It soon becomes, I don't really care what they're asking me to do. All I know is that I'm riding in the car next to, you know, the district attorney for Philadelphia, or I'm riding in the car next to Senator such and such, or who and who and ha. And, you know, who am I? I'm just a guy, you know, working 9 to 5.
You know, Kyle, I actually want to thank you profusely for this call, because you've elucidated a lot of things, like from the lower level how it feels and what it's like. I really value that kind of input from you, man. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. I'm sure I couldn't tell you more, but there's just certain things I'm not
going to
do.
Well, you know. There's a good reason why you might hold back, of course, because many people don't want what is happening to James to happen to them, and nobody can force you to do it. You know, you'd have to do it on your own. So thank you for your call, and we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for listening.